Mic check one. Check it. Check.
I'd like to check my mic, please.
It's all right. Check, yeah, I think you can do it better.
I'd like to see if this microphone is functioning properly.
Oh,
no? No?
No, it's a little better.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Hey, microphone, does this feel good? How about now? How about now? How does this feel, microphone? What if I put my finger here? No.
Hold on.
All right. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code ComedyFilmNerds at checkout and get not 3%, not 4.5%, 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 303. Yeah, all right.
It's a little late because someone was enjoying the waves in Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. I was just in Maui. I'm sorry. it was great. It was awesome. Hawaii was first. I did a show at Honolulu.
Hawaiian Brian's.
Mm-hmm. So thanks to James Monet and everybody there. It was a blast.
It's a good time. I remember that. Yeah.
That's a great club. Mm-hmm. And these guys from the surf shop I go to every year, the Quality Surfboards in Waikiki, they finally came to a show.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, you guys will appreciate this. Afterwards, they're like, man, you're funny. Like, when you come in the surf shop, you're not funny, really. You know, it's just like, how am I supposed to come in to the, like, yay, let's get a surfboard.
You come in with, like, a rubber nose and glasses.
Yeah,
to
just
buy a
like,
surfboard.
Bing, boom, suck it, surfboard. Who's renting me a board, dildo? Like, is that how I would come in? That's not how I do my act.
That's your closer.
That is my closer. Yeah. Surfboard dildo.
Surfboard dildo. Zoinks.
But it was so funny because I was like, you know.
Well, the reverse has happened to that too. People have seen you perform and then go, wow, I didn't know you could surf that well.
Right? I thought you'd just be flopping around like an asshole because your act is bullshit. It's uncoordinated bullshit.
The way you wave your arms around,
what
you
about
can balance.
A comedy show in the water on the waves.
That'd be awful.
Right?
I mean, that's the worst environment.
No, but when you're waiting for a wave, right? This is how things happen.
Yeah.
I've went surfing twice in the 80s. Is it different?
Yeah.
Everyone's on their board. The audience is on their board. And then the next comic coming up.
Yep.
And then the next comic is catching a wave in.
And they're wearing Nixon masks, right?
and then the feature comes in, right? And then the headliner's paddling out.
This is the worst.
No, it's not how it works. I'm just trying to create something different. And wow, I don't shit on your dreams, but okay. Wow. I thought we were supposed to yes and each other, but okay, okay.
Yes, and that's a horrible idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to introduce our guest. She's been on a
couple
episode
times.
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah.
And we are always happy to have her back.
I have a punch card.
Yes. Very, very funny comedian, mm-hmm. Actress, and writer.
Mm.
It is Kira Sultanovich.
Thanks, gentlemen.
And a podcaster.
And a podcaster.
And a podcaster. And a Virgo.
Ooh.
Nice.
And
what's your rising sign?
And AB positive blood type.
Oh, shit. That
yeah.
Was
yeah.
It's good to know.
And you just had another baby, right?
I just had another baby.
How many babies is that now?
Three,
keep
four,
track. Five.
I don't know. I just put food out like for a cat.
And let's like
whoever eats it, you get to eat.
Yeah.
I have two, a 5-year-old and a 5-month-old.
Mm.
Yeah. So I love life is my mantra that I tell myself every day between tears.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun. It's never going to happen, right?
No way.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? I was just surfing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what he got to do? get up whenever he wanted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you yeah. son of a...
One morning I got up early to do yoga, and then we went to different beaches, and I surfed in the afternoon.
So that's kind of like having a kid.
Yeah. I mean, the weird thing is, like, sometimes, you know, he can have a meal without yelling. Yeah.
Here's one thing I didn't have to say the whole time when I was with my girlfriend. I didn't have to go, no, no, stop it. No.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not the whole
time.
She's
so much younger than you.
You don't even know who she is, and you're right.
That's true. I don't know. I'm assuming she asks him, can I watch iPad until we get our food? And you're like, okay, but only PBS Kids. Oh, keep it educational.
Okay, and then we're doing our homework.
Yes.
Well, you do have an amazing life.
It's kind of great.
Good for you.
But yeah, to finish thanking everyone.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
Before my two friends that are really good at your human birth control.
Yeah, the more of your friends have kids, the less likely you're going to have.
No way.
No.
I saw people with their families on vacation, and they're, wow, this is great. And, you know, some of it looked like, well, that'd be fun, you know. And then some of them just like,
yeah, you know, a kid is spoiled when they're yelling in Hawaii.
Yeah, shut up.
Oh, God.
I saw some guy. Now, granted, look, I'm not wealthy. This was all hotel points and United Airline miles and Hertz points. Like, that's how I put this whole thing together and make a little money from the gig. So I could never afford to do this if I didn't, you know, fly around the world and do bad gigs. but so you see people who clearly, like, they have a lot of money. Like, I'm a middle class dude.
Hawaii isn't cheap.
I'm living a first class life because I run the fucking points game.
Yeah.
I know how to play that game. There was this guy snorkeling in Maui, and he kind of, you know, comes to the shore, and his wife's like, how was it? He goes, well, that kind of sucked.
Like, what?
I just wanted to just, like, cut him open and push him out there and just shark food him.
What do you mean? Like, why?
Well, what was wrong about snorkeling in 75-degree water?
Yeah, tell me.
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. What
was
the problem?
Yeah, you're not in New Jersey.
Yeah, or whatever dumb town you're from.
Were they Mexican? Were the fish Mexican?
Like, bunch of Obama supporters. You know? They all need jobs, I guess. You know?
Like, that was the problem? He was seeing Obama supporters in the water?
Yeah probably.
You know what? But I can see my kid complaining, my five-year-old complaining about Hawaii. Like, at five, they find stuff to complain about. It's right. Unbelievable. I had to convince...
Well, that's their job.
That's their job. I get it. But I had to convince him, like, we were at a Ramada Inn over the weekend at, like, a Tony Robbins... you know what I mean? I was like, you have a great life. Like, he's just sitting there, like, in his car seat in the back. And I go, you have every toy you want. You have great friends. You live in a great city. And then I thought, what am I doing? Why am I convincing this five-year-old that he has a great life? But you have to.
Yeah.
You have to kind of talk to them as if you're selling them a timeshare to their childhood. I go, look, you're going to love this, all right?
Yeah.
Play whenever you want.
And the takeaway will be like, yeah, but I got to pay taxes on it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, which is, you know, brushing his teeth when I tell him to brush his teeth. Yeah, it's such a pain. Good for you. You made the right choice. You made the right choice.
But Graham walked into the garage very relaxed today.
Yeah. Right. Tan.
He probably got a little HJ in the morning. What'd you get? What little treat? I can always tell on a
Hawaii
guy's face.
Hawaii juice.
I had a great. Yeah, everything's good.
Yeah,
everything.
Where'd you stay? What hotel?
We stayed at the Hilton in Waikiki for when I was there, which is great.
That little village.
Not the Hilton Hawaiian Village.
Okay.
That's super nice. I didn't have enough Hilton points for that. But the Hilton Waikiki, which is down towards near the zoo, the Honolulu Zoo, towards the other end of Waikiki.
Okay.
Which was really great. And, you know, went around the island and did a couple podcasts. I was on this podcast called Aloha Broha.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great.
Which are these two guys. One guy's like does like rap and hip hop in Honolulu. And this other guy does like, they're like comics and... They're talking about, because there's this image that we all have from the mainland of Hawaii is just all luau's and beaches and all that shit. And they're like, no, it's there's a whole other, there's all these rock scenes and music scenes and stuff like that. So did that podcast, did Bruce Fisher's podcast, which is really cool, like How to Live in Hawaii. They basically, everyone there is like, it's great, but you got to have three jobs. Because it's, it's crazy expensive.
Imported.
And maybe even live on a boat.
Yeah. Like,
you can't afford to buy anything.
Right, that you rent out. The boat that you use for boat tours.
Which I don't understand because a lot of money is coming into Hawaii with tourism.
But the problem is like...
The locals don't see it.
Well, they see some of it, but you're talking about... I mean, you can't afford to buy... The base price of a house is whatever. It's like LA or more. It's like $700,000 to buy a house and you're working at a hotel? Like, how are you going to...
Right.
It's all service.
It's actually cheaper than I thought
for
Hawaii.
But that's like a two-bedroom, one bath.
Yeah, tiny.
I mean, that's, you know, so you get anything near the water and it gets up near a mill. And so how are you going to do that, you know, making tips?
Right.
You know, as a valet or... Like, there's a million of those jobs.
Yeah.
But the cost of living is so intense.
Oh, jeez.
And so that's what that podcast was cool. And then went to Maui and... James Mane had recommended going to Haleakala, which is the peak in this crater at the top of Maui, which is 10,000 feet. And Frank Pulaski, who's a fan of the show, who's our only fan on Maui.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I periscoped in Maui. There's chickens that just run around on Maui. Maui's unbelievable because it's all this different topography. There's like rainforests. There's obviously beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
And then... when we drove up all the way to the crater, first you drive through like rural farm and it looks like you're in like North Carolina or Tennessee or Georgia or something like that.
It's a lot of anti-Semitism.
Yeah. A lot of like blacks go home and stuff like that. Yeah. And we don't want you. It's great. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Trump 2016.
A lot of Trump 2016. And then as you get higher, then it becomes like the Pacific Northwest. You're like in Washington or Oregon, you know, it's like amazing. And then as you get even higher, then you're on Mars. Then it's literally like rocks.
Because just like lava?
Yeah,
like
it's an old volcano.
Lava. Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Cool. And you get up there you drive through clouds and then you get above the clouds. Jeez. So all you can see is the peak. And it was just amazing. God. And it was one of those things, you know, James emailed me. He was like, you know, Hawaiians believe you got to live with the land and live at peace, which is why there's a lot of resistance to big resorts and as well there should be, I think, because I don't want to see everything get overdeveloped. And he said, James emailed me and was like, I didn't really understand that as a Hawaiian because I kind of grew up in the city sort of until you go up there. It's unbelievable. It's like, it's breathtaking and it's so different. It was really cool. And then meeting Frank, you know, it's always cool to meet a fan, you know, in a remote part of life. It was like when we met Russell in the outback of Australia for earbuds. It was just so like we're meeting one dude.
And he lives up there on that crater? Like people live up there?
No, he doesn't. But he lives what they call up country.
Up country.
So he lives like kind of in the farm.
He's crater adjacent.
He's crater adjacent. Yeah. So his real estate's really great.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, and it's cold up there. It was like 45 degrees, and
neat.
It was such a cool experience. So it was really cool. It was great meeting everybody.
Well, we've got a lot of movies to talk about. We're going to jump right in. Let's do Concussion. Now you saw this. Now, I thought this would be a movie that I would show up on the Oscar list. It did not.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion.
Are there black people? Are there black people in it?
Yep. Yeah. So white country club is we're going to talk about that a lot, man. That is such an issue with the Oscars. Every year, it seems it's like, are they getting worse? Is the Oscars just getting more?
Well, you know, the wisdom is pretty much that they're moving in the wrong direction, and like, you know, and Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett Smith, they're boycotting the Oscars, and you know, Spike Lee is a activist filmmaker making a statement, and Jada Pinkett Smith won't be at the Oscars because she's a horrible actress. But I think what's going on too is it's actually a very simple solution is you have a more diverse Academy voters. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
It's not all old white people actually doing the voting. You create a pool of Academy voters that reflects, you know, what the rest of the country looks like.
That's
and that
like
doesn't exist
SAG
right now.
The SAG Awards are always like it's actors. It's all of us get to vote on that, and it seems a little more.
Well, I didn't pay my dues, but when I pay them, I do get to vote
for you.
Yeah. Good. I'm curious, and maybe this is a stretch. You know, like after Obama was elected, there seemed to be like this backlash of like, don't forget about us. We hate black people. Like these kind of Tea Party, these KKK, like white supremacists.
The militias,
yeah. They kind of all came out a little bit more. Like they've always been there.
Right.
But all of a sudden they felt like they needed to make a stance. And the last 8 years, there's been like this new kind of, you know, not violence, but I don't know. There's always been, I'm sure, even before Rodney King, police violence towards young black youth.
Course.
Of course. But it's just been more out in the forefront. And this has been like a tough few years. And I feel like sometimes that kind of mirrors what's going on in Hollywood with movies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, I think
it's definitely related. There, you know,
there's no way it isn't.
You can't say, yeah, that they're completely separate. And one of the things, too, is the studios a lot of times, too, they like go where the money is. Like, I remember when Tyler Perry started making movies, no one thought there was any money in his type of movies, and he quickly proved them wrong.
Right.
So I think one of the things, too, is when, you know, and this is a sad thing to say, but is when the studio starts seeing more money, you know, in movies like Creed and things like that are actually very good films.
Yeah.
I think they'll get promoted harder. Like Straight Outta Compton is a great film.
It's amazing.
Right. And you wonder, like, well, why didn't it get more accolades? And one of the explanations is that, well, you know, the campaign wasn't there, it wasn't promoted enough, because the Oscar campaign, it's a game.
It's a popularity game. Popularity contest.
And I don't know if I completely believe that too, because like a movie like Bridge of Spies, that barely got any publicity. I mean, I don't remember seeing very many promotional materials for that at all. And you also look at like, well, but it's just the name. It's Spielberg and Hanks, so it's like having Meryl Streep. It's like, okay, well that like gets a pass.
And this is part of the problem. If you look at the Best Picture nominee, and we'll do a whole special episode about this, but like Brooklyn, I've seen it. You're going to watch it. We'll talk about it later in another episode. This is just the classic, just fucking accents and period piece gowns. And why the fuck?
Is it 70s?
No, it's like it's the 20s or 20s, something like it. That. Okay. Like, there's no way Creed or if this is on the list, and there's two more slots, they could have had Creed and Straight Outta Compton.
Right. Easily.
And they're both very good movies. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this shit drives me crazy. So we'll talk more about it, but Concussion.
I mean, like when you look at Mad Max, is Australian? Is that diversity?
Yeah,
they are. They're a minority.
Yeah,
not in Australia though, which is weird. But here. I mean,
this is part of the problem. Is okay, actress in a leading role, Jennifer Lawrence and Joy. Jennifer Lawrence is a fine actress.
Yeah.
Joy, no, Joy's not was not that great of a film. Like it didn't do well. There's no one else they could find?
Yeah, wasn't she nominated last year?
Yeah, that's what they do.
And the year before?
It's just like, well, she's in it, so it's automatic. And it's like, it shouldn't be that. You know, actor in a supporting role, okay. Christian Bale, Tom Hardy, Mark Ruffalo, Mark Rylance, Sylvester Stallone, all good actors that did good jobs in these movies. But no one else?
Yeah.
Not Michael B. Jordan in that? I don't know. It gets...
Well, I think, too, and we'll never know for sure, but what... There might be a lot of other politics going on, too, like Beasts of No Nation was on Netflix, and Idris Elba. You know, you saw that.
He's amazing.
Now, that might be kind of like the Hollywood establishment is like, well, no, it's a Netflix movie. We can't nominate these that are on these streaming services or whatever, because it'll disrupt and, you know, break up our monopoly that we have on the movie theaters and the movie going. So I think there might be a little bit of politics that way too.
Sure. But you could, like, Michael Fassbender is a fine actor. He's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
He's good in Steve Jobs. But I feel like it's just, they just, like, Fassbender, Meryl Streep, Jennifer Lawrence, whoever, Hanks, just...
Have you ever invited people to an Evite, to a party and used Evite, and then it saves their emails? You could just click on them the next time you have a party?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah, it really feels
like
that.
You know what I mean?
Way.
It's like, here's who you invited to your party last year, and you can just click on it, and you're like, all right, let's just do the same thing.
And that's sort of, like, looking at why Concussion got very... Nothing. No one from Concussion.
I haven't seen
it. How was it as a film?
Yeah.
What I think it's a very good movie.
It is. Okay.
What is it about?
I don't know. But
we just saw a glimpse into Graham's high school. Graham, could you tell us what the book was about? Bullshit. The end.
The end. Some guys happen. Are we done?
Yeah. Are there movie cliff notes?
It was pretty. Mm-hmm. It's here's what the movie is about. It's about an actual event that happened. It's about this actual doctor that Will Smith plays, who was working as a pathologist in Pittsburgh, and Mike Webster, who was a very famous Pittsburgh Steeler that I watched growing up, commits suicide, and they study his brain, and he discovers there's this disease called CTE. It's cranial, blah, 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 something. Mm-hmm. And they find out that this is in 2002 or 2003 or something like that. They find out he finds this new disease. And he goes, it comes from repeated head trauma. Mm-hmm. And he does all this studying research. And he's like, you know, a woodpecker's brain is designed to take that hit. Mm-hmm. The human brain, and he does this analogy, he puts a grape in a glass jar and just shakes it around. He goes, that's what happens. The human brain bounces around the internal skull. So, and he's like a football player, and Mike Webster was an offensive lineman, gets all of these hits to the head. It's like the equivalent of whatever he comes up with, like 15 car crashes or something like that every game over a period of however many years this guy played. He played 15 years in the pros. So you've got college and high school on top of that.
Oh my gosh.
Was he kind of proving that it's like a long-term condition?
It's a long-term condition. And then what happens is the guys who have it, you become prone to violence.
Yeah.
So it changes your behavior.
Oh, completely.
Oh, interesting.
And then you start committing suicide. Now this, I remember when Junior Seau about 6-7 years ago committed suicide. And he was like, it made no sense. He was this like, he was retired. He was this activist in the community.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, he wasn't a guy that suffered from depression.
Right, right.
They analyzed his brain. This happened. And they started finding more.
Didn't he ask for his brain to be analyzed?
Yeah. Because a lot of guys were just like, why am I acting this way?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? And so he discovers this. So the movie is about him discovering it. And then basically, you know, he came here, this doctor that Will Smith is playing came here from Africa and is like, I love America. There's the trailer where he's like, you know, God was here and America was right below it, you know.
And no, we should be above God.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Amen, bro.
No, God picks our candidates.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. True.
So what he is then, so then he just is like, oh, okay, well, I'll take this information to the NFL. And of course they'll do something about it. NFL covers it up. And so it's a very well-made movie. There's great, Will Smith is very good in it. He's this is the other reason, like, shouldn't Will Smith just get an automatic nomination like all these other guys? Because he's been nominated before.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's been doing dramatic roles now too.
He's been, I mean, this Ali, like he's been doing a bunch of these. He's really good at
so
it.
So he doesn't rap in this movie at all?
No, not to my knowledge. Now,
I don't want to spoil the end. Please don't spoil what happens at the end. But do they figure out that
Here comes a joke. This is so great. Watching you get all serious, I was like, oh, we got a good joke coming.
Do they figure out?
Okay, everyone be quiet. Kira's making a very valid point. This is going to be valid. It's going to be social commentary.
That woodpeckers should be.
I love it.
I tried, but you fucked me up. I tried.
A woodpecker joke.
She's was it about a woodpecker?
All that. I was talking about the woodpecker like 5 minutes ago. She made a woodpecker joke. Yeah. That was so great.
They should be football players.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. No, that's the point of the movie, and that's why it should have won an Oscar.
Right.
The woodpecker should be football.
So it's going to be like the Bud Bowl.
Yes, it is. Yes. You guys get it. This is so cool. I used to play football, and you're on my same page. And so,
Did you play?
Yeah, I played high school football.
Uh-huh.
So this is part of the thing why it was well-made and really resonated with me, because part of what they're saying in this film is, and this is what the NFL is, you know, there's all these great supporting roles, and there's all these one of them, like Alec Baldwin plays a former team doctor. And he's like, you know, he goes, I love the game of football. I was paid. I want you to be wrong. I don't want to agree with you, but I can't argue with science, mm-hmm. you know? And so there's all these great scenes and, you know, there's a guy from the NFL.
But I'm going to bring this guy from the oil company in.
Who will? Yeah, yeah.
Who can argue with science.
But that's, yeah, exactly. Or the Koch brothers. Yeah. They're not big fans of science. So that's part of it. They're going up against the NFL, which is just mm-hmm. like, this is all stuff that's in like the trailer. Yeah. Like, that's just like, they don't want to admit this.
No.
Too much money at stake.
Way too much money. There's the scene where it's like, you own a day of the week. You know, there's, and this one doctor says, this one, I don't know, lawyer or physician or something like that with the NFL is like, if 10% of the moms in America just say, nope, my son's not playing football, this game's going to be done and the NFL's over in 20 years or whatever. And it's like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe that needs to happen. You know, like right. Albert Brooks makes this point. He goes, they own a day of the week. And
well, is it just football, do you think? Like, do you think hockey players suffer sure. from the same thing?
In any time.
Boxers,
for sure.
Anytime, I mean, anyone who's ever had a concussion,
yeah.
it's a potential. But even just repeated head trauma. It's football more than anything because every play, especially if you're a lineman,
yeah.
you're just smacking
you get hit.
It every time you're getting hit in the head. Like, so, and that's what the film really gets into. And then more players start having. And the thing, like, it was well made and it really resonated with me because I played the game in high school. I kind of love the game. It's yeah. awesome. And Alec Baldwin has this great thing. He goes, because Will Smith's like, why do you guys care so much about it? He goes, it's so violent. He goes, it's brute force, but it moments, it's pure Shakespeare, the strategy of it. But it's sort of me personally was like, you know, a couple years ago, Ray Rice, you know, it's like the NFL didn't care about domestic abuse until it's on camera. Well, then they have to deal with it. And it's sort of yeah. like you wanted to believe as a fan of the game that the NFL, yeah, they're about money, but they're about fair play. And they're just acting like any other fucking evil corporation,
right,
you
right.
know. And this movie goes into the – it's kind of like Spotlight in the way that it was directed and acted, which shows, you know, there's a really good scene in Spotlight where, you know, someone for the church kind of comes to Michael Keaton's character and is like, says something. And Michael Keaton goes, so this is how it happens, huh? Guy leans on a guy
mm-hmm.
at a bar. Then he kind of just turns the other way, makes a distance. And that's how this shit does happen. Cause they're not going to publicly, you know, whatever they're going to put out there. Well, we're doing studies and we're trying to see and blah, 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 blah. But
the church sends their fixer
yeah.
to the bar.
Exactly. And that's the NFL is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what position does Ray Rice play?
I'm going to pray for your soul.
No, no, no. I'm being serious.
Oh,
no,
Ray Rice.
Does he maybe suffer from that? And that's why he's acting out violently.
That's a great question.
Right.
You know, that's a great, anyone that's played football is susceptible to this. Certain okay, positions yeah. are going to have more head trauma than the others.
That little Italian kicker is not freaking out.
No, know. He's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's
this little European. They're so cute.
They're adorable.
He's such a little
He's making paninis in
there. Oh, did you move into such a sweet baby?
Did you break a sweat today?
He said you went out for 2 seconds.
Oh,
such a big boy. Yeah. So anybody, right?
Aside from those adorable kickers.
Those little kickers.
Yeah. Who they all call Rudy.
But that's the thing. And so, I mean, me personally, there was a study that came out that said even people who played high school football, they found this in. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, I emailed my brother who played, we both played.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew, his son is 11, 12 years old playing full contact football. And I was like, I'm a little worried for myself.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I've ever gotten angry, I'm like, is it just because I'm an intense guy or do I have this thing in my head that's going to make me go crazy? It's kind of scary. It's like yeah. when you watch the movie Joy and anytime you forgot something, you thought, oh God, I got Alzheimer's.
Oh,
you
know, that,
not Joy, but, yeah. Oh shit. I'm blanking on her name.
Oh, you got Alzheimer's.
Oh shit. Yeah. That was it. Oh, I'm angry. It
came
out.
Yep. Came full circle.
Oh, the movie that came out
the
last.
Julianne Moore.
Oh, the one with the. Strawberries.
Yeah, now you're gonna pull it up. Finding Alice.
Did I mention I have two
Finding
kids?
Alice. Yeah.
Finding
yeah.
Alice.
Finding Alice. So that was sort of you wonder that, and that's and I think getting to the original question of, is it a good
movie? Is that going to happen from now on? Every time you get angry, you're going to think of playing football in high school?
Yeah. I mean, unless it's yes. you, then I just know you're being an idiot. So then, unless you say some nonsense, then somebody's got to bring down some justice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's try to bring up this football stuff again.
Yeah, if people don't get mouthy and stupid, then there's no reason
you're fine.
For you to get.
You're okay. Yeah.
That's not an injury. That's everybody else.
They're stupid. You've injured my brain with your dumbness. Maybe that's a disease.
So
no, but it is a really well-made film, and I think it's anybody involved in this movie could have got nominated. The script could have got nominated. Will Smith, Best Picture, could have got nominated. All the supporting characters could have got nominated. Mm. I mean, it's.
You wonder if it is partially like the Oscar campaign. Did they not campaign hard enough? Did nobody see it?
That's bullshit.
Yeah,
they bought ad time. This thing I really applaud this movie for. They bought ad time during NFL games for the last month.
That's not cheap.
Ooh.
That is not cheap at all. No. Sports advertising is the most expensive because that's the one thing people
don't fast forward.
They don't DVR it. They watch it live. So that's where the TV commercial still has weight.
Right.
So it's like everyone knew about this movie. Mm-hmm. And
except the Academy.
Except the Academy. They don't watch football? Like, what are they just...
Well, I mean, wasn't there a study done that shows what kind of people get nominated, what kind of movies get nominated? And it's like a white guy in a lead role who's fighting for his country, you know, like American Sniper, or they show, like, if it is... a person of color that gets nominated, it's, you know, someone who, let's say, is like the... who was the guy that got nominated that, you know...
12 Years a Slave?
Yeah, it's like, it's never a person in power if it's a black guy. You know, so Will Smith is a person in power, right? First of all, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
So that's really prestigious. So
I wouldn't doubt this statistics at all.
They're you know, people, they have time on their hands. So they you know, there was a couple things on the internet that like breaks down like the women that are nominated, what they usually play, and it's like it's always this like, you know, help me, I'm white and I need help. Or you know what I mean? Like they like listed everything. Of course I can't remember any of it now, but so does you no good. So we'll just omit that part. Put like some music over this part that I just did. Like a little comedy film nerds jingle of some sort.
No, but I think that's a valid point, and it's I don't know. I would say watch this movie. You don't have to be a fan of football to watch it. If you are a fan of football, I think it's sort of required watching. I've sort of since seeing that movie been like, what do I do? Do I keep watching this game? Do I keep supporting it? I really don't want my nephew to keep playing it.
Yeah. No, my kid's not playing football.
Well, don't. I mean, no. I really, and I loved the game. Like, I was captain of my team. I encourage, like, team sports for kids because you have responsibility and discipline.
Yeah.
But this is just too brutal, man. I don't know, because here's the question. If I knew about this disease, everybody knew about this when I started playing Pop Warner when I was 13, would I have played this? Would I have been allowed to play it? Would I have wanted to play had I known this?
But don't you think we all knew?
Well, I think here's the thing. What I remember, and again, maybe I got the brain scramble, so my brain, I'm done. When it was playing...
I remember, we played against a bunch of woodpeckers and we always lost.
They were assholes.
Yes. But never had injury.
Never had injuries. The concern playing football when I first started, which was in 82.
Oof. Right. Ooh, what an old weirdo.
So before my girlfriend was born.
Yeah. Oh, you beat us to it.
For realsies, though, right? For realsies. The truth is funny.
So,
I was going to say learning shapes, but go ahead.
More specific. Yeah. Good.
Yes. And here's my answer. But the concern was like, there was, one out of, 500,000 football players got paralyzed. And that was the concern. Because that can happen, but it was like...
They were looking at the spine, weren't they?
It was the spine.
Yeah.
No one worried about a concussion or head trauma.
Really?
I swear to God.
Okay, because let's say, for example, cell phones. We have not had them that long.
Right.
And I'm sure 30, 40 years from now, we're all going to know the information that is, you know, pertinent to us. And we're going to be like, how did we not know that if you put your cell phone in your pocket or like right. people like, have you seen people sit on their cell phone, like at a comedy show and they're yeah. in the front row? And I always tell the guy, I go, dude, you're going to have 37 testicles. Like in a couple decades, you will have 37 nuts and you're gonna be like, how did this happen? Because we don't know enough about right. cell phones, but we kind of know. We just don't want to think about it because we want to talk on them. We want to have them near us and in our pockets and you know, and sleep next to them.
And if the cell phone companies have information about it, they are not going to release it. No.
Now, woodpeckers with cell phones, totally fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They well, are fine
they
for
talk
it.
Too much.
Their brains
though.
Are built for
they're
them.
Always yeah. texting.
Get it? With their beaks. Do you get it?
We'll put this in the show notes.
But anywho's, I don't think no, we know think enough about it. We know, though, but we know in the back of our and dumb heads that
I
we
think
know.
That's part of it is like, we kind of wanted yeah, to, yeah. me personally, I just, I mean, you used to say when you got knocked cold or you saw stars, it was like, ah, oh, you got your bell rung. No one wanted to think, wow, this could cause some long-term shit.
Yeah.
And I think we were all sort of drinking the Kool-Aid because...
Yeah, when you got knocked down on the field, no one said, oh, you might be having some long-term psychological damage later. No.
There it is.
They didn't bring out the grape?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... And that's a part of this whole thing, and it's sort of... You know, there's a website for this disease now, and they're like, you know, do it for the players, and it's about focusing on Mike Webster, and
so it's an important movie.
It's an important movie, which is why it's so pissed off. The you know, I mean, not that someone struggling with being a transgender isn't important, but Eddie Redmayne, transgender movie, like I don't even they just the movie poster got him nominated. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and this is. Almost more important, I think, because it's such a part of the American culture is this game.
Yeah.
Nowhere else really in the world is it played like this, with this kind of money. And I'm like, so I don't know. It's really worth seeing. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a whole review on it, even going into more depth about it. But
great.
It's probably not coherent because I'm fucking got the great brain.
Well, it's hard to type with your little woodpecker hands.
Yeah, it's really weird. I got woodpecker grape hands. All right.
Now this next movie I wanted to talk about because
there's more? Yeah. I thought we were going to wrap it up. All right.
This is this movie Attack on Titan I saw from the flight from Australia. Okay. And it was a movie I was looking for because I've been following this franchise a little bit. This is actually a big franchise in Japan, and it's there's an anime, there's a manga comic book, and now there's a live action movie that I saw, and I was talking to Sanai about it, our fan in Japan, and she actually,
Sandy,
she sent me the comic book, and once you get used to reading, you know, right to left, you know, it's actually really fun, and it's about humanity is basically living behind walls in these cities, and basically because there's a bunch of giants called Titans that want to eat them. But no one's seen one in like, you know, 80 years or 100 years. And you know when that's the opening scene of a movie, well, no one's seen a Titan in years. You know what's coming next. You know, a giant breaks
Don't
through the wall
it.
And, and starts eating people.
And when that comes on screen, you're like, how did this?
Yeah, happen? Yeah. Like, how did this so weird?
You said it hasn't been 90, 80 years.
And this, it's such a weird thing because I don't know if this is a cultural thing in Japan or everything is like unfinished. Like, the anime is only one season, it doesn't go very far into the story. The comic book, I haven't read that far into, so I'm sure the comic book goes farther. But the movie is pretty much just like maybe the first couple books of the comic book. So it doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end at all. It just kind of wanders. It's very Japanese in this weird kind of like horrifying visuals of like these giants coming down and eating people, but they're also weird too, where they're naked for one and they have no genitals and they go through these weird things where like, but they don't need to eat people, they just like to eat people. And then it gets
into chips.
Yeah.
Do you need chips? Are they the healthiest? But the, you don't like them.
And then it gets
just
into,
one.
Yeah. So it's this weird, horrifying movie that doesn't even tell a complete story. But
so who's naked? The giants?
The giants
or the
naked.
Asians?
Yeah.
Are the giants Asian or are they like white? That'd be great if it was like, uh-oh.
Round eyes here.
Big dumb Americans are coming in to eat us up.
It's a weird mix of like, it's like Asian giants, but they'd use special effects to make the eyes bigger and wider.
Yeah, and they're saying Americans are going to eat them.
And so
makes sense.
Almost to make them look more like weird anime. Like, but it's, and then you get into these weird plot twists like, well, where do they come from? They can't reproduce, and are we actually turning into them? But none of these questions get answered because it's only the beginning of the story.
But how do they reproduce?
Those shifty Japanese.
And then it's almost like giant, like X-Men, like each one has a different power than, like, some of them just come in and eat people, but then some are larger than others. Some of them have like firepower, and it's a very it's big in Japan, but it's definitely worth a look because it's so weird and so crazy. I would recommend starting with the comic first because that was actually the most coherent. The anime is good, but it doesn't, you know,
so you watch these things before you watch the actual live action movie?
Yeah, and it'll actually it'll give you much more frame of reference to actually watch it.
Do I need to be naked to watch it?
It will help. It will definitely help. And my favorite part
to have homework before a movie.
The translation is completely off. It's called Attack on Titan. Uh-huh. And I talked to Sanaa about it. I said, this doesn't even make any sense. She's like, yeah, every Japanese student is required to take English in Japan, and look how well we use it.
So what is the translation?
So it should be Attack of the Titans Attack the Titans, because then, you know, humanity has to fight back and fight the Titans. Anything would be more accurate than Attack on Titan. Mm. So, but the weird thing is, like, somebody must have caught that by now, but still no one wanted to change it. No one wanted to change it.
Maybe there's punctuation missing. Yeah. Maybe it's Attack, comma.
It could be Attack, colon. Attack on Titan.
On, period.
Attack on Titan.
That could be too. Could be a comma, sure.
Or
sure.
Maybe it's like a reindeer. Attack on Titan. On Blitzen. No.
I would buy any of those. I would. So if you're into horrifyingly weird deviant anime, and I'm not saying that is a bad thing.
No, that was my honeymoon.
Because it's... Because it's definitely worth a watch because it's so creative and out there. It's just really.
Hey, kids, you
want
to see how mommy and daddy made you?
Attack! Exclamation point on, comma.
Yep. And make sure the giants don't eat you. So, but it was a weird, weird movie. But it was a great movie to see on a plane because I don't think I would have really gone out of my way to find it. But if I see it there, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna check it out.
I like those plane movies. Yeah. You're like, you know what? On an international flight or something, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, here's what...
I know Scorch Trials. I'm going to see it at some point.
Oh, I watched it. Yeah, I watched it on the flight, too.
Scorch Trials?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Scorch Trials. That was the Maze Runner sequel. And you know what? We're going to talk about that right now because I got to get this.
Last time I was here, you guys talked about the Maze Runner.
Yes, I probably did. I was.
I'll be in my car.
Yeah. So now the Scorch Trials. You could tell. First of all,
we're
let
going
me back
right
up.
Into Scorch Trials.
We are. We're going right into Scorch Trials very briefly. But I want to say one thing about airplane movies. You could tell every movie that's on an airplane. You could tell. Oh, these are the movies that had the lowest license fee.
Oh yeah.
This is the one that the airline could get the cheapest. Everything from the TV shows to the movies. There's nothing you go, oh, I can't believe they have this. You've never gone that on an airplane, ever.
You know, the distributor goes, look, guys, I can get you on 1,500 flights.
Right.
$6,000.
Yeah. It's from Buffalo to...
So, the Scorch Trials...
I'll tell you the legs.
Stop in Denver.
Yeah, the Atlanta to Orlando, that's not
that's,
stop.
That's a good one.
That's a good
one.
Yeah, people have enough time to watch Scorch Trials.
Almost.
On that one. Yeah. So, this movie was so funny because it followed a very specific formula that is just ridiculous on young adult entertainment. It's like everyone wants a Hunger Games. Like you're like, okay, well, we want to just we're gonna try Divergent, Convergent.
It's my Divergent.
My Vergent. Yeah, yeah, whatever. And they're
Detergent.
Yeah, they're never good. And this one was fascinating in the way they put it together. It was a combination of, okay, we're going to take pieces of Hunger Games, and then we're going to take an actor from the Game of Thrones, and then we're going to add zombies. So we're just going to put all these things together in some ridiculous movie, and the young people will come out and watch it.
The zombies have genitals like the...
No, we didn't get to see, but I'm going to guess they actually had genitals, these zombies. Whether they were usable or not, unknown.
All right.
So what they did is it was literally every little piece cobbled together from a better story was put into this movie.
Oh,
and the funniest thing was everyone took it so seriously. I'm like, guys, you're making a ripoff of like 10 different movies. You know, maybe somebody should wink at the camera at some point.
This is like walking through like a street merchant in Hong Kong where it's all just knockoffs.
Yeah. It was like watching, some kind of Frankensteinian bootleg. It's really what it was. And so it was so ridiculous.
It's a Gucci shoe. Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. I didn't know they made it.
It's a shoe water bottle.
Oh, it's a Rolex.
Yeah,
bag.
Rolex toothbrush.
Okay,
it's really
those are great. Yeah, they move so smooth.
So that's what you can expect on Scorch Trials.
Scorch Trials.
All right.
Okay.
So Kira,
yes,
you have seen Alvin and the Chipmunks Road Chip.
Mm-hmm. Come on, let's hear about it.
So you,
well, guys, did you go it when takes it... up where we left off. With the last Alvin and the Chip, I don't know where the last one was. Look.
The last one was Chipwrecked.
Oh.
So they were stranded.
They were stranded.
Being attacked by genitalist giants.
Right.
Right.
If you were wondering what Jason Lee is up to.
Where's he been?
Obviously, a lot of gambling debt because he needed to make a movie. And they were like, look, we can only... It's fine. Whatever you want to give me. Whatever. I'll take any money.
And this is like the third one, right?
Oh, dude, Jason Lee. He... God bless him, because he works against just someone's fist. Like, it's just a fist. Like, or maybe Andy Serkis. Whoever's doing green screen chipmunks. Mm-hmm. But I've never been a fan of his ever. He really, ruins everything for me. He ruins everything.
You didn't like him when he was in, what was the...
Clerks?
Everything.
Or no, was he in Mallrats?
Mallrats.
Yeah, no. And just keep naming them and it's Jersey everything.
Girl, Almost Famous?
Everything. I don't know what it is. I'm sure he's a nice human being. And I'm sure that he is a fine fellow. But when he even talks about how he got into his acting career, it was just a total fluke. Like, he was just hanging out at someone's house and their mom was like an agent or something. And she was like, you should go audition for blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right. Like, he wanted to be like a skateboarder or something. He was going to be a pro skateboarder. He was not going to be an actor. Oh. Yeah. So I don't know. He just, but it's not his fault. This is a kid's movie. I get it. But it's just sad. We have a 5-year-old and your husband and you Rochambeau for who's going to go take the kid to Peanuts or who's going to go take the kid to the Alvin and the Chipmunks. And my husband we Rochambeaued. We rock, paper, scissored.
Good for you.
Yes, we're married. We still scissor. We got to keep it alive. Anyways.
Jackass.
So he got Peanuts movie. I got Alvin and the Chipmunks. And let me tell you, it was the best decision.
Won.
No, I won.
Really?
Yes. Because it's a dark theater, really comfortable seats, and I fell asleep and napped the entire time.
Good for you.
Someone could have stolen my child, but I needed sleep more than concern over that. But he was sitting next to me the whole time, just like riveted to the screen, and I just snoozed. And slept. So my review is bravo. Bravo, Road Chip. No, I caught little pieces of it. It's almost like watching a movie on a plane. You know, because like, don't you ever fall asleep during a movie on a plane? You just wake up, you're like, oh, where am I? What happened to the movie?
Right. Oh,
okay, I'll keep watching.
I did that with The Intern.
Oh,
okay. Now he's
is that with
that's Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And
he's old, but
and
he's
he was
an
nominated. No. was it good? Was that a good movie?
No.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Really?
It starts out good. Like, there's some interesting, like, Nancy Myers wrote and directed it. So it starts out with some interesting, he goes to get this job as an intern. And there's this sort of, you know, commentary about ageism. That these, mm-hmm.
yeah.
This young tech company and they all sort of they don't realize it, but they're talking down to him and stuff like that, which is like, oh, that's cool. That she's pointing that out, you know, and kind of showing what that is. And there's some interesting stuff with, you know, Anne Hathaway. It's her company, and she has her husband's a stay-at-home dad, and that dynamic and what that's all about.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And then it's just, they just, he becomes everybody's dad in this fucking boundaryless weirdo world where he's just telling everybody what to do. It's preposterous.
I mean, they have sex at the end, right? I mean, well, they hook up, right? It's a rom-com?
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. What it's all about. He's like, I'll be your intern now.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, does he teach Vince Vaughn a lesson at the end?
Yeah, sure. He teaches Vince. Yeah, they that's all learn a different... about these. It doesn't matter. They're all the same.
Okay.
So road chip.
Road chip.
Check it out. Hashtag work it.
I would, you know, look, there weren't many. I'm looking forward to Kung Fu Panda 3.
Oh, that looks interesting.
All my movies now are either what can I lie to my family about and tell them I have an audition, quotes, and go see a movie, or take my kid to go see a movie.
Right.
So that's all. Those are all my options right now.
What's your best, what's your favorite fake audition movie that you've seen that you lied to your family about?
I went and saw Star Wars.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I had a callback for Burger King that day.
Nice.
A 3-hour callback.
Oh, good.
It was on the west side during traffic.
There's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, can't do anything about it. It's going to be 3 hours.
It was all sign-ins and people.
Yeah, and then they asked me to do it again because I was good.
Yeah.
yeah, I did see Star Wars. I went and snuck off and saw that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. What else, Chris? What do we want to do now?
Okay, we have a Squarespace ad.
Well,
let's take care of that.
Let's fancy pants that up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very proud to have Squarespace as a sponsor because one of the reasons we had said before, not only is it a great company, but they're a huge supporter of podcasts and the Podcast Festival. So we always encourage to support vendors and advertisers that actually support, you know, the industry, which
yeah,
is
man,
cool.
Squarespace, literally, they've sponsored so many podcasts, big and small. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. they've done a lot of big ones, but even the...
But small ones, maybe?
Small.
Maybe I have a chance?
Yeah.
I mean, and with Squarespace, too, you get a great product. You get a professionally designed website, regardless of your skill level, no coding required. You have easy-to-use tools, and you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. So check it out. A free trial at squarespace.com, and when you do decide to sign up, make sure you use the offer code ComedyFilmNerds for 10% off your first purchase.
I think, Kira, you should send them that pre-roll you did for this episode.
For sure.
So,
say, look.
Maybe jazz it up a little bit.
Let's go bang, boom. I could do some reads for you.
Yeah, yeah. Squarespace.
Yeah. Add a woodpecker.
All right. All right. I will do. I'll take your advice.
Helping people.
Yep.
Squarespace.com, you guys.
Yep.
Well, we should also, this fine person needs a little shout out.
We have a little shout out from someone from Hawaii.
Yeah, somebody saw me at the show, John Junkins from Honolulu, Hawaii. So he made a donation to Earbuds, which is very cool. And he has a movie blog, The Good, The Bad, and The Junkins by John Mark and Travis Junkins. Oh my God, the whole Junkins family. So check that out. Go to the
well, they own one of the islands, don't they?
yeah, they're one of the original. Yeah, go to
The Maui Junkins.
Yeah, well, it's a blog that's on like carved into a mountain. So it's like you got to go read it. So go to Maui, talk to Frank. He'll take you to this great restaurant in Makawao. It's great.
It's a hieroglyphabog.
Yeah, yes. So go check out the Junkins.
Their last name is like a last name that you would use in a movie.
Yeah,
you know, like this is what meet Phil Junkin. He's a salesman.
Mark and his brother.
And the Titans ate him.
Yes. Those dickless Titans ate one of the Junkins boys. All right, what else we got to talk about now?
We could go to DVDs and Blu-rays.
Let's do it.
Straight Outta Compton is now out. Now, you guys got to check this out if you missed it in the theater. It's fantastic. It's a really good movie.
It's really good. And here's the thing, too, as we talk about the Oscars. We've talked about on the show, vote with your dollar. So none of us are in the Academy, so we don't have any choice over this. But show the Academy how fucking wrong they are by buying this movie or buying a ticket to see it, because it's an excellent film. It's really good actors in it, especially the guy that plays Eazy-E.
He's really good.
He's really good. And there's some great scenes between him and the and Ice Cube's son and Paul Giamatti.
I'll tell you,
and
the one complaint I had about the movie, too, is because it tried to encompass a fair amount of time and a fair amount of characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have liked to have even... I wanted to know more about each character and what their background was and, you know, what how they interacted. So I feel like I only kind of got a glimpse of the whole story, which is still great, but it, like, made me more interested in seeing, like, I want to know the whole story now of all these characters.
If you haven't seen it, it's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
I want to see it just because I want to see how they did the Jerry curl. Was it authentic, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
All activator.
Uh-huh, they made
it's
that.
All...
You know, that all,
let your soul glow.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. That's like a woodpecker in my throat. that's my youth, though. Like, was that you? Yeah, hip hop.
Yeah, I listen to all that music.
Yeah, that's totally me. My husband and I grew up so differently. Like, he went the heavy metal route.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah, and then I was all rap, hip hop, Eazy-E. Bitch, what you been smoking? A big fat dick in a big East Oakland. All right.
I was like, peace sells, but who's buying? Megadeth, Metallica, you know.
That's funny. So, I grew up listening to all this kind of music, too. That's another reason why, if you grew up listening to this, I remember when this album came, their first album came out.
Oh, my God. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah.
It was insane. That's why you got to see it. So make
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Yep. All right.
And then, well, I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, but I moved to Chicago when I was 11 and then started.
So that's when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I started playing football and listening to black music.
Yeah. So one of those white
kids. Well, you had a head injury.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I didn't know my own race. I was like, you should be listening to ADD. I was like, no. Yeah.
I also heard Ice Cube's son is really good.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. It's weird to like look at him and go, he looks a lot like Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Genetics will do that.
Mm-hmm. The guy that played Dre, it's a really well-made movie. Yeah. And it's excellent. And the music's all, it's just like.
Yeah, all of it.
It's really cool.
Wait, they didn't make Suge Knight look that great.
I don't know how you can make Suge Knight look that great. He's a thug, man. I mean, and they've showed who he... And the guy that plays Suge Knight is
fantastic.
Fucking great. Yeah. He looks scary like Suge Knight does.
Really?
It's a really good movie. Check it out.
All right.
And next one is Everest. Now, Graham and I split a little bit on this. I didn't like it as much, but it's definitely worth a look probably on DVD for sure.
You know, we did a spoiler ep about it when it came out a couple months ago. So if you're really curious about what we thought, go back and download that bad puppy.
And The Intern we were just talking about.
There's a scene where, spoiler alert, there's a scene where Anne Hathaway sends an email complaining about her mom to her husband, but she realized, oh my God, I actually sent it to my mom. So we've established
because email is hard for young people.
So the intern, you know, they established that Robert De Niro's character, he's this like old values and I shave every day and like, these young guys in the office and they're all wearing hoodies and they're all, and he's like, you know, this girl, she's mad at me. And he's like, what'd you do? Oh, I texted her. Did you talk to her? Well, I text basically the same thing. No, it's not. Like, he gives all this, like, sage fatherly advice. So when this bad email goes out, he suggests, we'll break into your mom's house and get her on her computer and delete it. So him and these two bumbling 20-somethings go in there
for an email heist.
Yeah, and it's wacky and hijinks.
Is there heist music?
It's fucking so dumb.
Wow.
And you're just like, why? And then by the end of the movie, he's just like taking the kids to school. It's just like, what happened?
That's what interns do.
I guess. Yeah, not good.
Next movie, Gem and the Holograms, which surprising is how long this took to actually come out on DVD. I would think it would have been maybe a couple days after.
We made
it was
fun
in
of the
theater.
Trailer at Podfest.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what took so long. Maybe somebody's holding out hope. You know, this movie is going to find its audience. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
In the theaters.
It's really going to.
Yeah.
We're going to do extended run.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to go Gem and the Holograms. Word of mouth is going to.
It's really going to spread.
Social media is going to ride this wave right into the.
Ground.
Yeah, don't watch
so,
it.
Now the next I wanted to talk about is the Hobbit Extended Edition box set Blu-ray.
You wanted to talk about this?
I did. I wanted to talk about it. And to be fair, I will do it briefly. Because I know you have very little interest in this.
That's all right. I ran my mouth.
Yeah, you did mention it a lot.
My head's weird.
Yeah. It did kind of go on forever.
So now... The thing about The Hobbit is, like, when you saw this in the theater, it was, you know, one movie a year, and it was basically one long story that was broken up into three pieces unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. So when you actually have the extended editions that actually fill in some plot holes and actually give the characters even more breathing room, but you watch it as a mini series, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it actually a lot more. And here's the way to enjoy it more is take out the fact that it's not really The Hobbit. It's really a Lord of the Rings movie with The Hobbit in it, because it's got all this extra material. And The Hobbit, I don't know if you ever read the book, but it was a shorter, smaller book, and it was a smaller story. Mm-hmm. And this one is much more blown out and extravagant. But if you watch it with the extended edition as a miniseries, and we watched it as a family, and the kids absolutely loved it. And, you know, my wife's watching it too, and she's like, oh, I don't remember that part. I'm like, yeah, well, it's like new footage. The one caveat I'll give for the parents out there is Peter Jackson did this thing on the third movie because he wanted to make it darker to lead up to Lord of the Rings. The third movie is R now instead of PG-13.
Really?
Yeah. There's some fisting.
There is. There's a lot of orc-on-orc action.
Am I wrong?
And it's very specific where it is. So that was some stuff that I had the kids go out of the room for. There's like some bloody battle sequences in the last movie that aren't really necessary, but it was a director's choice to get it into the R rating because a lot of these movies too, and this is how fucked up the MPAA is they're bloodless battles. People are getting decapitated and stuff, but there's never a drop of blood.
And it's okay.
Well, it's still going to be a PG-13 rating. The minute you show someone's head going off, but a spurt of blood, immediately R. So it's ridiculous.
Like,
Now, granted, this isn't like
Christians from 500 years ago that run the MPAA.
It's insane. Now, granted, it's not like it's a bunch of monsters and, you know, swordsmen fighting. So it's this fantasy violence. You can kind of suspend your disbelief as far as like realistic violence goes. Like, it's not like a Saving Private Ryan when they see the battle sequences. Right. But the thing that I'll give Peter Jackson a lot of credit for, the fact that you have orcs and ogres and trolls and elves and dwarves, something about what he does, he makes it look believable. Like, mm-hmm. The way he puts it all together on a battle sequence, it's really exciting. And there's like a whole chariot race scene with like giant wolves and goats and dwarves with like an automatic repeating crossbow and you know, giants' heads getting cut off. It's like, it's insane. And if you're a fan, you're really going to love it. And I really, if you weren't sure on The Hobbit or you got bored and you thought it was too long, I get that. I felt that way too by the third movie. But if you watch the extended edition and treat it as a mini series, you're going to enjoy it a lot more. It was really fun.
It's cool. Yeah. And I, you know, as I said on all those spoiler ups we did with Jackie, like the one thing I'll always say is his effects and stuff are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like that one scene in The Hobbit, if I remember correctly, where the woodpecker battle.
Yes.
it's just fantastic. It felt like you were there. It felt like there was 100 woodpeckers battling each other.
Now, since you keep up bringing... Wait, what? You keep bringing up books...
Whoa, what an asshole. Yeah.
Since Chris likes to read.
Yeah, since you're like, books. Do you think any of them
that children should read?
Yes. No, do you think, like, okay, because here's what I did recently. This is off topic. I read Peter Pan to my kid, but like the real Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And I had to edit along the way because it's, first of all, very racist against Native Americans, which that's what I called them in the book, not Redskins, but like, and then the Native Americans who are kind, nice people and should be treated. So like I had to edit. So, and I want to like read, you know, maybe because my kid is sitting still for chapter books with no pictures. He's just sitting and
that's
listening.
Great.
So I think that's really cool. Do you think, I asked my husband, my husband's a bad judge because he's like, yeah, sure, you know. But it's also like, should we put them in fire? My husband's like, yeah, sure. Like,
so you're saying is he doesn't judge at all?
No, my husband's like, sure, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's appropriate. Peter Pan wasn't appropriate, so I had to like edit. So do you think one of the Lord, like the first one?
The Hobbit, absolutely.
The Hobbit, yes. It would be okay for a 5-year-old?
Sure.
Or should I start Harry Potter, the first one?
No, The Hobbit.
Way more violent?
It's not that it's more violent. The first Harry Potter book is relatively tame. It just gets a little dark towards the end. But okay. I think The Hobbit is more
but
like
Peter Pan is very dark. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yes. He's already sat through that and he's okay.
Yeah, I think the thing about The Hobbit is also it's an introduction to Lord of the Rings, so it's lighter than the other books.
Okay.
And it's also set up more like a classic fairy tale where you know you've got monsters and goblins and dragons and I think The Hobbit's
The Hobbit.
I think the only way you could do the Harry Potter book is if your kid isn't a pussy.
All right, I'll ask him.
Yeah. See what he says. Yeah.
Are you willing to sack up and sit still for this aggressive book? Yeah.
Sack up.
Sack up, little man.
All right, Hobbit. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay, please resume your podcast business.
You might check out for the on the site, Neil's review of The Revenant is really good, and there's a couple other reviews from CJ up there, and coming soon, a concussion review.
I finished it on the flight, and so we'll get that up soon.
As soon as we can put Graham's words into sentences.
This is a lot of sounds right now, pictures.
And premiering this week, The Fifth Wave, and now we're like, all right, now let's try
to... Another surfing movie.
It's a...
No.
It's a
too bad.
No.
This is a Hunger Games meets Alien Invasion movie.
Okay.
So it's always now it's always like okay, well what's the Twilight Hunger Games twist? You know, we still have young people, there's a love triangle and but now okay, now we're done with having them kill each other. Yeah, there's wolf and vampires. Now we're doing aliens. Oh, so
cougar?
So the fifth wave.
Angry goats.
Yeah. I gotta fight them.
I'm sure.
All right.
I'm sure it's also based on a series of books that are sloppily written. So I'm just going...
You're trying to entice me. It's working.
Now, the next movie is The Boy. Now, this is one of those weird movies. It's a horror movie. And if you watch the trailer, basically it's about an old couple whose son died violently. And they hire a nanny to take care of their child. And the child is a doll. And the nanny starts laughing, and then like they're very serious about taking care of the doll. And then if they don't follow these rules to take care of the doll does horrifying things.
Okay.
And I'm watching the trailer, and it's literally one of those really extremes where you look at it like, this trailer looks dumb, but it could be really creepy and horrifying. Or this trailer looks dumb, and the movie could be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. So I really think it's going to be an extreme. It's not going to be... I don't think anybody's going to watch this movie and go, yeah, that was all right. I think it's really going to go one way or the other.
It's interesting you say that, because when I saw the trailer, at first I was like, oh boy, this is like... They keep cranking this out. But then I had like sort of flashes of the movie Magic.
Right. Uh-huh.
With the ventriloquist.
Yes.
That was like, oh, I remember that movie. Uh-huh. Yes. Super creepy.
Right. Uh-huh.
Very.
It can definitely tap into something really... crazy.
Because dolls are weird.
Yeah.
Dolls are creepy, weird things.
Without genitals.
Right.
Back to that now.
Like, I liked how the nanny is, like, trying to, like, there's a scene in the trailer where the nanny's trying to prove to, I guess it's her boyfriend, that this is actually happening. So they put the doll in a room and they draw a circle around the doll. They close the door and then she, like, knocks and then they open the door and then, like, the doll's moved. Like, stuff like that where I think it could be really fun and creepy, but we'll see. The next movie.
You know that that was just a production assistant between takes moving the doll over here.
No, that's probably
No.
That's union work. I think
this really happened, Kira. I don't. You're being a little flippant.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
That's not how movies are made.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Everything's a documentary. Okay.
Everything's a documentary.
The next movie is also looks creepy and horrifying. Mm-hmm. This is called Dirty Grandpa.
Are there any other kind?
Yeah.
Oh.
And finally, two cinematic titans are together in one film, Robert De Niro and Zac Efron.
Ew. Ew. That's disgusting. That's like when someone puts like... spaghetti sauce on popcorn. You know what I mean? Like, why would you eat it like that? Why would you eat it like that?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching the trailer.
What studio people were sitting in a meeting going, all right, guys, let's put some pieces together. What do you guys say? What do you guys think? Like Owen Wilson and Miley Cyrus? What do you guys think? And they put those two people together?
Yep. And you know that's exactly how this movie came together.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. 100%.
Robert De Niro.
Yuck.
I don't know. I mean, could him in this type of a role, an old kind of a wise-assy dick, could it be interesting and funny? Yeah. There's no way this is the one right. that it's going
to
be.
But what is this movie about?
Oh, they go to spring break. You know, you got to take the old guy to spring break.
And he's all like, you know.
And he convinces the young guy who's getting married soon to someone who isn't right for him.
Right.
Why is Robert De Niro one of the finest actors mm-hmm. ever on the planet?
Take one character from The Hangover, add Robert De Niro, and then send it to... That's exactly what it was. It was one of those vision boards that they just put together.
Yeah, right. They just cut out magazine picture. Uh-huh. But like, I feel like he does... Like, amazing role. What the fuck? Amazing role. Interesting. Oh, look at this in-depth character. Like, oh, shit. What is this? Like, why does he do that?
I figure, like the intern was shot in New York. And I bet you he's just like, oh, I want to work in New York this summer.
Yeah, I'm here for a couple months. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, let's go to Palm Springs. You know, let's shoot this Dirty Grandpa movie. Like, I think he just does, like... I think he looks at his, you know, he talks to his accountant and goes, well, you want to keep the ski house in Aspen. We need to do a couple more interns.
You're going to have a meeting with Zac Efron.
Yeah, you got to have lunch with Zac Efron. And
So Zac Efron has to bring his grandpa to spring break.
Yeah, but his grandpa.
But it was his idea.
But his grandpa's a partier who's like, let's go to a wet t-shirt contest.
Let's see who else is in the movie if you want to pull it up real quick. I'm going to, because it's.
Is there a book I should read first, Chris?
Well, you know what?
I know you like to assign homework before. Should I read the anime before?
This definitely. No? This is a big franchise in Japan.
I can imagine. De Niro is genitalless.
Or is that pretty much it?
It's Zoe Dutch, Aubrey Plaza, Jason Manzoukas, Dermot Mulroney.
Okay, Dermot.
Wow. A lot of people who just, they got built.
His name sounds like something you say when you stub your toe. Dermot! Mulroney!
The director, Dan Mazur.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, Dan has done...
Of the Hawaii Mazers?
Yes. he's a Sacha Baron Cohen guy.
Yeah, he's done a lot of TV series. He did the Ally G show, mm-hmm. Dog Bites Man.
Oh, that was good.
He did the movie I Give It a Year.
Okay.
And then some made-for-TV movies, and then this is what Dan Mazur does.
All right. Well, I'm sure he's a fine choice for the material.
Absolutely.
Good luck to all you guys.
Yes.
Well, Zac Efron is a fine young gentleman. Let's wish him well, everybody.
Indeed.
All of a sudden turned to the Renaissance Fair in here. Huzzah for Zac Efron.
Give it up for him.
Yeah, let's all wish Zac Efron well. Yeah.
We should, everybody. Come on.
He needs to work out more.
He's not reading books.
No, he's not.
You can't read books and have abs. You just can't.
No, that's a guy I'd like
to. How can you read when there's a mirror in front of you?
That's a guy who I'd like to just play a game of football with and just fucking grape brain him.
Grape brain.
I'm going to use that grape brain a lot now.
Come across the middle, pretty boy.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
good stuff. Great episode, guys.
Hey, everybody. Glad we could do this.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Kira, thank you so much. Where can people see? You got any shows coming up?
I sure do, by golly. When is this happening? What date?
Today.
What?
Gonna drop today.
Was this live?
No.
Oh, I don't know how podcasts work. Is this WKRP?
Yeah.
I am, if you happen to be in Hollywood, I'm at the Hollywood Improv on Friday the 22nd, everybody.
Oh, nice.
Come down and enjoy some giggles on me.
You're headlining some skits down there?
Oh, God. How do you headline? Who books that? No, I'm just doing a regular old standard union comedy set.
Nice.
If you're in the Valley and want to go to the Temple Beth Hillel fundraiser, I'll be...
I might.
I actually will be there. That's
shit. I got a thing. Dang it.
Do you have a thing that night?
That's the same day.
Okay. On Sunday the 24th, Los Angeles, I'm at Uncabaret. Do you want me to keep going? Because I have something every night of the week, baby. I'm like a whore for comedy. I give it every night. And then I go to Omaha. All right. That's it.
Where are you in Omaha?
Warren Buffett's show. That's not a joke.
You're doing Warren Buffett's show?
I don't know. He books a thing.
What?
I know. And it's not as much money as you would think because it's Warren Buffett. You would think it's more money. No, it's fine. It's decent. Look, it's good. I'm not complaining.
And your podcast?
Yes, it's called The Kira Sultanovich Show.
Nice.
Because
but Warren Buffett owns it.
Yeah. He's a sponsor. Squarespace. I got warrenbuffett.com. We have some sponsors, actually. It's kind of exciting. Anyways, come take a listen. I talk to comics who have kids. Mancini's been on.
Yes.
And we talk about how they cock block our careers.
So I could never be on the show.
I would love for you to be on the show.
I have nieces and nephews.
That so doesn't count. And when you say that, people with kids just want to take a sharp object into your taint.
Yeah.
Any sharp object. It could be a whittled down ladle. But
right
it's
into
a sharp,
your woodpecker.
Right into your woodpecker. And shake your little grape balls. But I want you to you to come on because you and I are like you are the crack to my pipe.
You're someone I could never
do anything serious with.
There's no way. If I was like doing something serious, if I saw you coming to my yoga class, I'd be like, out, right now. Get out.
No. You know what we should do? We should pitch a show where you and I go to funerals.
I would fucking do that.
We just go to funerals and we have a timer and we win money for charity for however many minutes we can stay at a funeral without getting kicked out. That we win that much money for a charity like orphanages or for, you know,
right.
Comic, like so open
people,
mic comics.
People love us and hate us.
Yes, at the same time.
Well, they raised all that money, but they ruined
special
that woman got a skiing accident.
Yeah. And she left behind her own kids and she was
a lot of kids.
Yeah,
she was a foster parent and a nurse.
And a nurse.
Yes.
And you guys were giggling.
Asking
we
about the buffet.
Money for her foster kids.
Yeah, we're not complete dicks.
Nah.
It's not my fault. Her fucking husband's got a dumb haircut.
Yeah. So right. It would even out.
It would.
Yeah.
So we got to pitch that. I'm telling you right now, we have to pitch that.
Whenever you want me on your show, I'll be your first non-baby having guests.
Okay.
All right. And we'll figure. I'll talk about something.
We'll do something.
I'm ready for a return engagement.
Yeah.
You know what? We talk about the abortions you made chicks get.
Yeah. all the kids I won't take responsibility for.
Yeah.
Like, this is your baby. Prove it.
Yeah,
I did.
Right.
Shut up. I'm on stage. You know?
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
This is great. Really good episode.
Thanks,
some great
guys.
Stuff. Well, that's our episode. Thank you so much, Kira Sultanovich, for coming into this very well-planned. That's our show. We're gonna start doing more of these kind of fun live shows at the Hollywood Improv, at the Lab Space. So we're gonna work on some cool stuff though. So that's coming up, you guys, and you know.
Definitely got some stuff coming up for sure. One of the things I wanted to mention, we were sold out of a bunch of Thrilling Adventure Hour shirts. We now got a lot of the stock back in, and we got a new design.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's a dark green, but really it's clay.
It's clay. They got so many. They've got charcoal. They've got...
Yeah, they're like a brick.
Great color.
Brick.
Yeah. From here.
It's green. It's fantastic.
You can check those out. And... I will actually be at the Fantasy Springs Casino this weekend in Palm Springs for the Improv. See, that's Friday and Saturday night.
I will be headlining the Improv at Harrah's in Vegas, February 9 through 14. And then the Improv in...
Tahoe.
In Tahoe, March 2 through 6. So check those out, you guys. Hope to see you there. Thank you so much, Kira. Everyone for listening, and mahalo to all of you in Hawaii. And no, Kira, you don't make those kind of hand gestures. So thank you so much. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.
No snarky comments at the end from none of you.
No, we kept it quiet.
Are we allowed to?
Yeah.